All right, if you take your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, and I'm going to read three verses to you here, and then we're going to look at a truth here, and then I want to give you something the Lord showed me this week. Hebrews chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 11 through 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. The Bible says this: "For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought unto the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." And let's pray. Lord, I pray that you bless our message this morning. Again, Lord, thank you for all that came out. Thank you, Lord, just for just the ability to have life and enjoy life, and Lord, to know you, and Lord, just what a blessing those things are. Help us, we pray now. And Lord, I pray that if someone is here today and not saved, God, that they would hear the gospel and accept you as Savior. I pray as Christians we'd be challenged, Lord, through the preaching of the Word of God. Bless us, we pray now in your name. Amen. I don't know if you noticed or not, but three times throughout those three verses, you found this phrase. You found the phrase "without the camp," "without the gate," and again, "without the camp." Twice without the camp, once without the gate. And I want to preach to you for a few moments on this subject. It's time to get outside. It's time to get outside. Now, today, of course, is Outside Sunday. We obviously are outdoors. By the way, I love the outdoors. I don't know about you, but there you go. Amen. Okay, you're starting to catch on a little bit. That's good. All right, y'all forgot. It's been too long since we met out here and done this. All right, but no, I like the outdoors. I especially like the spring and the fall. I love watching everything come back to life. It seems like the last couple years we've kind of gone from winter to summer, not a lot of spring. This year, man, we've had an amazing spring. And I love watching these trees starting to come back and watching everything green up. There's just something about that. I like the fall time. I love the colors. And I like, of course, I like the fall mainly because I like the deer hunt. But I like being outdoors. I like the outside. And have you ever said to your kids before, "Hey, you just need to go outside and play," right? I remember growing up, that's what we did. We didn't have all the videos and the video games and all that stuff. We went outside, we played, and we had a good time doing that. But there's something about outside that I just enjoy. Well, I want to kind of take that thought and look at this passage this morning of what we see here and talk about this. It's time to get outside. Now, if you understand how things work back in the Old Testament times, and I think I'm getting a little wind interference there. All right. Brother Dave, you want to come and help me here real quick? See about maybe switching over. Let's maybe switch over to that other mic. And that way we can not have the wind interference there. Let's see here. Find it here. All right. I'm going to turn that other one off so I can turn this one on. Sorry about that, folks. Again, we're just kind of working with what we have here. All right, I think that's better. All right, maybe we won't have the wind interference with that. But if you understand the Bible in the Old Testament times, things were a little bit different back then. Jesus had not came and died on the cross yet, so God had instituted a system of animal sacrifices. And what that was a temporary covering for the sins of mankind. By the way, let me just remind you about this. And we sang about it just a few minutes ago. Nothing but the blood. The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And that's why Jesus came. That's why he died, so his blood could be shed for the sins of mankind. But back in the days of the children of Israel, of course, as they traveled through the wilderness, they set up in in tents, and they it was temporary dwellings as they traveled through. And if you go back and read the Bible, it explains exactly how it worked. And we're talking about approximately 3 million people. Could you imagine how big a camp would be of 3 million people? I mean, I'm not for sure how many acres of ground that would have taken up every time they pitched and they stopped, but I'm going to tell you something, it was big. I can promise you that's bigger than any campground around here for sure. And but they would go and they would camp, and they would offer, of course, those animal sacrifices. And what you see about this phrase "without the camp," it's pretty interesting when you study that out, because there were certain things that happened not within the confines of the borders of the camp, but without the camp. And when you study what that means, it's very interesting. Because here's what you find out about that. You find out this: the sin offering was to be burned outside the camp. Now, certain offerings were burned within the tabernacle, within the camp, but the sin offering was to be burned outside the camp. You find that the tabernacle was set up after the great sin of when Israel worshipped that golden calf and committed idolatry against God, that God had to set the tabernacle up outside the camp so that the sin offering could be made there. You find that the ashes of the offerings were dumped outside the camp. You find out that capital punishment happened outside the camp. You find out that if someone had leprosy, because it was such a contagious, horrible disease, that disease of leprosy, people had to be banished outside the camp. So what you see here as you study that is that without the camp was sin, without the camp was judgment, without the camp was shame, without the camp is not where you wanted to be if you were the children of Israel living back then. But what I want to point out today is here in the book of Hebrews is what happened to Jesus and where it happened at. Again, notice what it says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. So fast forward into the future, and here Jesus Christ has come to the place where he's about to be the fulfillment of all those animal sacrifices. He's about to shed his blood for the permanent atonement to cover the sins of mankind. A few weeks ago, we just celebrated the resurrection, and we talked about the way that Jesus suffered and the way that Jesus was broken. We talked about that his body was buffeted, and that crown of thorns was beaten to his head, and he was scourged and mocked, and his beard was plucked, and all the other horrible things that his body went through. Now it's time for Jesus to bear his cross. It's time for him to go to a place called Calvary. And that cross was laid upon him. He began to carry it. Where is it he's carrying that cross to? Where is it that he's bearing that? Well, the Bible answers that. He's going to what the Bible says there, without the gate. Without the gate. You see, back in the Old Testament times, people were put to death outside the camp in the wilderness. But now that they were living in the city, in Jerusalem, public executions took place right outside the gate or the main thoroughfare of the city. By the way, that was done for a reason. That was done for a purpose. It was done as meant for a sign to anyone that would try and wanted to commit a crime. If that were here in Princeton, that would be taking place in our area, probably right outside there on 41, right outside the city limits. That's a main thoroughfare, there'd be a place where things like that would take place. Jesus was led away, the Bible says, to that place of the skull, Golgotha, and he was crucified on that old rugged cross. Now listen, folks, that wasn't some random geographical location. This location was specific, it was outside the gate, there was a lot of spiritual significance behind it. Just as in the Old Testament, where sin offerings were burned, where the lepers were banished, where the executions took place, Jesus, being made sin for us, suffered without the gate. You may be saying to yourself this morning, wow, that was a nice geography lesson. What that's got to do with me? What's it have to do with us today here in 2021, Princeton, Indiana? What's the big deal about where Jesus was crucified? Well, it's a big deal because of what it says in verse 13. Notice here, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And I'm going to preach to you for a few moments on this subject. It's time to get outside. It's time to get outside. Now by that, here's what I mean. It's time for us as Christians to stop being ashamed, stop being fearful, stop letting what others think of us, and embrace whatever shame we may face in this life to please and glorify the one who sanctified us through his blood. Amen? It's time to get outside. Hey church, it's time to stand for the Savior. Hey church, it's time to bear his reproach. It's time to let this world know that we love, we live for, and yes, even if it would mean dying for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? It's time to get outside. Going outside the camp, going outside the gate is not a picture of salvation, but it's a picture of association and devotion. Again, what's he say there? Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Let me give you a few thoughts about this morning. Number one is this, in order to get outside, you've got to leave the inside. In order to get outside, you've got to leave the inside. Just like, for example, this morning, okay? In order for us to meet out here, guess what? We aren't meeting in our building there in town, okay? In order for us to be out in the field, we got to be outside of the building. And according to Hebrews 13:13, let us go forth. Let us go forth. Too many Christians, sad to say, want to associate with Christ, but only from a distance. They don't mind talking about him when it's easy, when things are going good, the bills are paid, the family's healthy, and life is smooth sailing. But if it means stepping outside of the comfort zone, if it means paying a cost, paying a price, well, maybe this Jesus thing isn't really all it's cracked up to be. I'm sorry, folks, but that's not what being a follower, being a disciple of Jesus Christ is all about. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Mark chapter 8, verse 34, and we had called the people unto him with his disciples also. He said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let me say this, it's not always convenient to go outside. It's not always easy. It's not always understood by those around you, but it's where the Savior is waiting to meet us. Amen? It's time to get outside. Number two, in order to get outside, you've got to know where you're going. Notice what it says back in Hebrews 13:13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp. You know what, folks? There's a direction. There's a way. There's a point of focus that we as Christians should always have our spiritual eyes glued to. You know what that is? Unto him. Unto him. You know how it is if you lose sight of something, all right? You're looking for something, you lose sight of it, and if you lose focus, it's hard to find. For example, all right, this morning some of you pulled in, and you pointed out to me that you see golf balls out in this field. You know why that is? Because this isn't church property. This is a driving range, okay? And sometimes I will stand up here by the tree line, and I'll get my clubs out, and I'll start driving golf balls in the field. And you know what? Be honest with you. You say, well, that would be easy to go pick those things up. Sometimes it's not that easy. You would think a little white ball and all this green would be easy to see, but it's not always that easy. And if I hit something and I want to make sure I find it, I got to keep my eye on it, and I got to keep my eye locked onto it. Have you ever done that with something? You're looking for something and you see it, but if you look away, you know you'll lose sight of it, so you stay focused on it. You stay drilled on it till you can go find what it is you're looking for. Now, folks, listen to me. When it comes to our Savior, when it comes to Christians, when it comes to our life, living for Jesus, you got to stay focused on Him. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you something. You start looking around this crazy world we're living in. You start looking around at all the craziness and sometimes, yes, even the crazy people of this life. I'm going to tell you, you'll get discouraged real quick. You'll get discouraged real fast. But that's why the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto who? Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, if you're going to make it in this Christian life, if you're going to live a life that pleases the Savior, you've got to stay focused on the right thing, or should I say the right person. And you know who that is? It's Jesus, amen? You've got to stay focused on Him. Let me tell you a sad reality about life. People will fail you. Okay? Now, not everybody, praise the Lord for that, but sometimes even the best of the best can let you down. Let me say this, people may fail you, Jesus Christ will not. Circumstances can throw you a curveball after curveball. You know what, folks? Isn't that so true? I mean, one day you're on the mountaintop, and then you get a phone call, then you hear from somebody, and you get your legs knocked out from you, and you tumble down to the valley. Literally, within 24 hours of time, you can go from being up here to down here. It's just called the circumstances of life. Circumstances will wane and wax, but let me say this, folks. Jesus Christ is always firm and steady. Your own very heart will try and deceive you and get you to think things that are deceitful and, truth be told, are flat out lies. But Jesus is always a source of truth and a source of light. That's why the Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hey, you want to see what the right path is? You want to know the right direction to walk into? Then you just need to peek into the word of God. Amen? It'll help you. It'll guide you. It'll direct you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. 1 Thessalonians 3:11, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into the patient waiting for Christ. Listen, folks, we need to look at the right thing. We need to be going toward the right direction. We need to stay focused on the right person. Amen. Listen, we need to go toward the Lord. I want to encourage you today, if you're here this morning under the sound of my voice, you're not here by accident. By God's divine providence, He allowed you to be here today. And let me say this, folks, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, listen, you need to go toward Jesus Christ. You need to go to Him for salvation. Amen. The Bible says there's salvation, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen, if you have any hope of eternity, if you have any hope of heaven, it's going to be through Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, I love White River Baptist Church. I love what God's doing. But let me tell you something. Putting your name on the membership of the roll of White River Baptist Church will not get you into heaven. Amen? I think it's important to be baptized once you're saved. But listen to me, folks. If you're counting on baptism to save you, you're just going to go to hell wet. Amen? No, the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ, coming to Him, realizing you're a sinner, realizing you need a Savior, and calling out to Him, confessing your sin, and turning to Him for salvation. Amen? Go to Him towards salvation if you're not saved. If you are saved, and as a Christian, you need to find direction in your life. You need to find purpose for your life. You need to find fulfillment for your life. I got good news. You can. Amen? You don't just have to float through this life. You don't just have to wander. No, you can have a purpose with living for it. Let me tell you what that purpose is. It's found in a person, Jesus Christ. Amen? Get outside and head toward Him. I love this promise Jesus said to us in John chapter 6, verse 37. Listen to this. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And listen to this. Man, this is good. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Listen, you belong to Jesus. You're His forever. Now, you might disappoint Him from time to time. You might even be a disobedient child where He has to discipline you from time to time. But let me say this, folks. He will never cast you out. Amen? So, hey, you need to get to Him. You need to go to Him. In order to get to the outside, you've got to leave the inside. In order to get outside, you've got to know where you're going. How about this, number three? In order to get outside, you've got to be willing to bear some things. Notice what that verse says back in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp. Here it is. You ready? Bearing His reproach. Bearing His reproach. I'm not going to lie to you this morning. You decide you're going to become a Christian and you're going to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're going to get your sins forgiven and you're going to have eternal life in heaven. Amen? Listen, there's some things that come with that. And part of that is the reproach of His name. 1 Peter chapter 4, listen to these verses. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He's evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You say, man, you Christians are a bunch of crazy people. You better believe we are, amen? We're crazy good is what we are. But notice what that Scripture says. He says, listen, if you're reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. It doesn't say there that you're down in the molly grubs, that you're all depressed and life's horrible because you're reproached for Christ. No, happy are ye. I reminded those disciples back in the book of Acts when the church was just starting to get off the ground and they suffered persecution. Remember what it says about the apostles? That they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. Amen? By the way, Jesus suffered for us, did He not? Did He not bear the shame without the camp, without the gate? Hey, if He did that for us, what's our excuse for doing it for Him? Amen? This idea that the Christian life is just a bed of roses, all prosperity, best life now garbage. Listen to me, that's not biblical Christianity. Amen? In fact, Jesus Christ promised us two things on this earth. He promised us eternal life, and He promised us the cross to bear. Amen? I'm going to tell you right now, you love God the way you're supposed to love Him. You go after Jesus Christ the way you're supposed to love Him. Not everybody's going to get that. Not everybody's going to accept that. Not everybody's going to want to hear when you try to give them the gospel that can save them from their sin. And let me tell you, there's reproach that comes along with following Jesus Christ. You know, I'm afraid as American Christians, we've got it way too good. I'm thankful for America. I'm thankful for our freedoms. I'm thankful for about being able to meet without fear of arrest or persecution. But along with that, kind of comes a sense of ease, a sense of softness in the Christian life. You know, that's why I believe a lot of Christians fall away. A lot of Christians get offended too easy. You know, a lot of Christians get their spiritual feelings hurt and never as much as darken the door of a church again. You know why? Because they're not willing to bear some things. They're not willing to bear His reproach. Second Thessalonians, let me read a couple more verses to you here. It says this, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And on, if you chase that word through the scripture, you know what God expects us to do as Christians sometimes? You just got to learn to endure some things. You just got to learn to endure Him. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're looking forward to Him. It doesn't necessarily mean that, yeah, you jump up and down and do jumping jacks as you go through it. But let me tell you something, folks. There's something about a soldier. There's something about a disciple that God at times will ask us to just to flat out endure some things. You say, preacher, that's hard. You better believe it's hard. Are you telling me that if I become a Christian that I might have to face some hard things? Listen to me. Even if you don't become a Christian, you're going to have to face some hard things. Okay, folks, let's just be honest. Life flat out is hard, is it not? Life flat out stinks. Sometimes things happen and that shouldn't happen. Bad things happen to good people. And you're like, why in the world is that happening? Listen, whether you're saved, whether you're lost, you're going to face difficult, hard circumstances. Hey, you know what? A lot of lost people have cancer. Just as well a lot of saved people do. A lot of lost people are laying in hospital beds with their body racked with pain, their body racked with disease, along with a lot of saved people. Folks, it doesn't matter whether you're saved or lost. Life's just hard. Why in the world would you want to go through that without Jesus Christ? Let me tell you what knowing Christ does. It doesn't make the pain necessarily go away, but you've got someone who helps you through it. Amen? You got someone that comes along beside and helps shoulder that burden with you. You got someone that's there to show you grace. You got someone there to show you peace. Amen? That's what a relationship with God will do for you. Amen? I'm thinking of some friends of ours. Most of our church family knows them, and that is the Harris family. Of course, the Harris brothers have been here singing. They've sang for us several times. In fact, they were just with us last month during our revival meeting. And of course, most of you know what's going on with their mother. And Mrs. Alita Harris is right now in the hospital up in Indianapolis, and she's just received a heart transplant, but her body's rejecting that heart. Here she is, a preacher's wife. Here her kids are traveling the country trying to serve the Lord. And you say to yourself, man, that doesn't seem fair. Why does God allow that to happen? You know what that's called? You've got to learn to do in the Christian life. You just got to learn to endure. Truth be told, folks, if statistics play out, okay, some of us under the sound of my voice today are going to get cancer sometime. Some of us are going to face certain health problems. Some of us could even possibly lose a spouse or God forbid, possibly even a child. Listen, folks, stuff like that happens in life. Amen? Why in the world would you want to try to do that without Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you, when you do serve Jesus and you do follow Him, there's a little bit of reproach to bear with that. So listen, if in order to get outside, you got to leave the inside. In order to get outside, you got to know where you're going. In order to get outside, you got to be willing to bear some things. Let me leave this with you, because amen, I'm going to leave on a positive note, all right? In order to get outside, you've got to see the end result. Let me tell you what makes all the reproach worth bearing. Let me tell you what makes all the shame worth taking. It's knowing what the end result is. Knowing what that end result is. How many times have you ever had to go through something? Maybe it was a hard test. Those of you young people in school, or some of you have been to college, hard test. Let me tell you something. Trying to get that test, trying to cram for that test and study, I mean, it is difficult. It is hard, but you're willing to pay the price. You're willing to go through that difficulty. You know why? Because you know what the end result is. I got good news for you, folks. We got an end result, and it's better than just an A on a paper. It's better than just a certain job we might get. Amen? What is that end result? Well, the Bible tells us that. Hebrews 13, verse 14. For here have we no continuing city. Here it is. You ready? But we seek one to come. We seek one to come. Folks, listen to me. As a Christian, let me tell you what this life's about for us. Amen? It's not just about the here and now. In fact, the Bible tells us that on this earth, you know what we are? We're strangers and we're pilgrims. We're just journeying through. Amen? This life isn't what we're supposed to be wrapped up in. You know why? Because there's a far better place that's waiting on us one of these days. Amen? We're looking for that city. We're seeking that one to come. I got good news for you, folks. We're going to live there way longer than we live here. Amen? Even if you get what the Bible says is your average lifespan of 70 years, even if you get your 70 years on this earth, what is 70 compared to eternity? What is the pleasures of this earth compared to what's waiting on us in heaven one of these days? Folks, listen to me. You know what will help you go outside? You know what will help you bear that shame and bear that reproach of Jesus Christ? Looking at the end result. Let me tell you what that end result is, amen? It's a city that we're looking for. It's a place in heaven. And more than just a place, it's the person that's going to be there. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen? So why? What causes Christians to lead the safety? What causes Christians to lead the comforts? What causes Christians to lead the ease of the inside? I'll tell you why. Because we're thinking about and dwelling on the end result. Amen? Let me tell you what, as Christians, our mentality ought to be. Okay, here it is. The Bible tells us this. When it comes to our life on this earth, we ought to be having a traveler's mentality. What's that mean? It means this, all right? It means when it comes to this life, yes, we live. Yes, we go to work. Yes, we take care of our family. Yes, we do things to enjoy. God does want us to enjoy life, folks. But when it comes to us as Christians, though, He doesn't want us to get too attached to this life. Here's what the Bible says. You ready? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye, talking to Christians here, talking to saved people, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. I'm not going to do it this morning, but all four of those descriptions could be a message in and of themselves. Amen? That's what it is as Christians. God considers us to be. We're chosen, we're royal, we're holy, we're peculiar. You say, yeah, well, I definitely understand the peculiar part. Amen? Hey, it don't take you long coming to White River Baptist. You can figure out we're pretty peculiar sometimes. Amen? But hey, that's what the Bible says. Now, why are we that? Why are we chosen? Why are we royal? Why are we holy? Why are we peculiar? That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, listen, he says, listen, I beg you, get this, understand this, as strangers, as pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust at war against the soul. Listen to me, church. Let me tell you why you can do it. Let me tell you why you can decide to go outside and go toward Christ and pay whatever price it you have to pay to be what He wants you to be. You know why? Because the end result, that's why. Let me just tell you this. All right? I say it a lot. 100 years from now, ain't none of us going to probably be here. Maybe a few of the small little babies, maybe. Most of us are all going to be gone 100 years from now. Truth be told, 50 years from now, a lot of us won't even be here. All right, now listen, what do you think is going to matter then? What do you think is going to matter 50 to 100 years from now when we are in eternity? You think it's going to matter that we just, you know, as the Bible says about that rich fool, we lived our lives for ourselves, ain't drink and be merry, and just doing our thing? You think that's going to matter? Let me tell you what's going to matter. What's done for Christ will matter, amen? Number one, if you're not saved, it's going to matter whether or not you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you are saved, it's going to matter whether or not you live your life for Jesus Christ as your Savior. Whether or not you were willing to leave the comforts and the confines of the inside and go toward Him on the outside. Amen? So how about it, church? Are you want to join with me? Let's get outside. Amen? And I don't just mean physically. I don't just mean going from the house to the yard. I mean spiritually. Let's get outside of ourselves. Let's get outside of whatever sin's holding us back. Let's get rid of that stuff and let's go toward Christ without the camp, without the gate, bearing His reproach.